Now, you might look at it and instinctively in your heart, you might still say, there's something really wrong with this, but it no longer shocks you, it no longer moves you, it no longer drives you to have a sense of revulsion towards that. And that's true in many areas, brethren, not just with the violence, but with drugs and with sex. For example, with drugs, you've heard about how you can begin with a certain type of drug, like marijuana, which is comparatively mild compared to some of the harder things like heroin and cocaine, but from that one thing, you become desensitized to it, you use it, and you continue to use it, and then you graduate to the next level because that one thing no longer gives you the same feeling or high that you had before. So you have to continually graduate until you reach the point where you're on something like heroin or worse, and then you're pretty much hooked, and it's very difficult to get yourself out of that situation. So that's what I mean by desensitizing. You can apply that to any number of situations, but this long list that I gave you of all these evils, brethren, We see them so often in the news anymore that some of those things, even though they give us a sense of revulsion, we've learned to, quote-unquote, tolerate them. And we shouldn't, ever. And this is something that we need to work on, brethren. We need to understand that the evil behind those actions and those patterns, if you will, much of that is directly a result of these spiritual forces. When you look at the eyes of some of the people who engage in these things, or when you talk to some of these people, or when you see some of these leaders that I mentioned before who are promoting the hatred and the violence and the destruction everywhere, it's very clear to me anyway that that's not just a human enterprise, that there's something behind the actions of those individuals. Don't get me wrong, I'm not one to say, and for lack of a better term, the devil made me do it type of attitude. I believe every single human being has a sense of responsibility and a sense of free will to reject a lot of that influence. But the fact, so I don't believe that these forces make these people do anything. But I believe that some people, by virtue of their worldview and their lack of spirituality and their inclination towards evil, give themselves willfully to these forces and become instruments in their service. So brethren, we are in very serious straits. You must understand this. Because we are fighting not necessarily those particular individuals who are trying to bring our destruction, but we are facing, even worse, the power behind the throne, if you will, the evil forces behind them. And that is a very difficult fight, brethren. Especially when you can't see, at least directly, what those elements are. But we know they're there. And we know that we have weapons against them. And this is what Ephesians 6 is teaching us. So let's pay close attention as we go through some of these weapons here and defenses. Before we do that, though, just to get a little bit more of a sense of this idea of the forces of darkness, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to have to pick up the pace just a bit here. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 1. And this is, again, the Apostle Paul speaking. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren. Let me just make sure I'm in the right place here. Yes. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of Yahweh will come just like a thief in the night. And I might just remind everyone that the Thessalonian congregation in their time was undergoing a bit of persecution. So that's a bit of the context behind what's happening here. For you yourselves know full well that the day of Yahweh will come just like a thief in the night. Paul's trying to encourage them. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. In other words, you've been enlightened. So you shouldn't be taken by surprise by any of these things. Although that darkness is there, it should come as no surprise to you. Verse 5, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Sons of light, brethren, and sons of day, as opposed to sons of darkness. You know, in our day and age, in our modern sophisticated society, it's not fashionable to speak in such clear terms like good and evil. That's why whenever you hear a politician use the word evil, everyone kind of, they kind of cringe and they, how could you be so unsophisticated? And yet, we know, brethren, that there is such a thing as good and evil. And it is clear, and there are clear definitions of that. And it's not fashionable to think of things like light and day, sons of light, sons of darkness. This is something that it's too simplistic. This is medieval. Is it? I don't think so, brethren. You know, there's so much smoke screen and red herring, and there's so many red herrings out there that you can't get to the heart of the matter sometimes. And the best thing that we can do with those situations, brethren, is clear away the mud. Clear away all those things that obfuscate, all those things that all the diplomacy and everything else, and get to the heart of the matter, because that's how we're going to survive. That's how we're going to recognize what is right and what is wrong. And yes, brethren, there is such a thing as right, and there is such a thing as wrong. And it's not defined by moral relativism. It's defined by the word of Yahweh very clearly. Continuing verse 6.